95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, in the big chair once again on WBCK for another edition of Coach's Corner, coming to you from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we talk about the big games from last night, and we will look ahead to week 9 of the high school football season with our first coach of the morning. But first, I want to take a moment to remember Ken Irvin, who passed away this week. Ken was a longtime voice of high school football and basketball on WPCK for the game of the week. Many of you tuning in this morning spent many Friday nights listening to Ken do the play-by-play for high school football and basketball in Battle Creek for many years. He also would sub in occasionally here on Coach's Corner as well. He will be missed. And now, as we continue on Coach's Corner this morning, here's the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. Last night, Harper Creek earned a big win in the Interstate 8 Conference play, beating rival Marshall 52-6. The Beavers clinch a share of the conference title. With 1 week left to go, they host Jackson Northwest to try to win that league title outright. Elsewhere in the city, Battle Creek Central lost to St. Joe 49-12. Jackson Northwest beat Penfield 30-10. Portage Central shut out Lakeview 50-0. St. Phil rolled past winless Athens 50-14. In the area, in a battle of eight-player division powers, Climax Scots held on to beat Mendon 46-44 as the Panthers clinch a league championship with that win. Union City remained undefeated and clinched an outright Big 8 title as the Chargers earned a 49-0 win over Quincy. That's the third straight championship for Union City in the Big 8. In other scores, Bellevue beat Colon 72-7. Olivette got past Lansing Catholic 27-14. Bronson 28, Springport 14. And Slugfest, Hastings had 73, Coldwater 45. Schoolcraft 54, Delton to Kellogg 8. Coloma beat Galesburg Augusta 32-27. Stevensville Lakeshore 62, Gull Lake 20. Jonesville beat Homer 70-8. And Stockbridge beat Maple Valley 33-21. We will be back with our first coach of the morning here on WPCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick from the Battle Creek Inquirer back here on Coach's Corner with our first coach of the morning, Coach Mark Pacetti. Good morning, Coach. Good
morning, Bill.
St. Phil took on Athens last night. St. Phil wins 50-14. That was... You said the score is a little bit more deceiving than it looks like. Athens gave you guys a tussle early.
Athens gave us a real tough game. I talked with their coaches, and I talked with a lot of their kids after the game. They played well. They came out, they played hard, and they hit. And all week long, we were worried about their line play. They have an excellent offensive line going right now and a fullback. And they hurt us early. And we, made some changes and got him under control, got the fullback under control a little bit. But those kids played well. And it wasn't a surprise. We've seen films on them. We knew what to expect. And, we have trouble with physical teams, and their line was very physical. So it wasn't a surprise to us. We knew we were going to have a tough night.
And with a win, St. Phil improves to 5-3 overall. Quarterback Colt Myers had a huge game. He accounted for 7 touchdowns overall. He had 216 yards rushing on 17 carries and 4 scores on the ground. Then he added 143 yards passing and 3 scores through the air. Brady Lightfoot had 113 yards receiving and caught those 3 touchdowns. you're talking about stopping that fullback. Your defense and mostly your defensive line had big games. Chris Guyana had 15 tackles. Myers, your linebacker, had 12 tackles, and Ben Nelson had 10 stops himself. Talk about that monster game. Sometimes the ball just finds you, and it looked like the ball was in Colt Myers' hands a lot, and he made good use of it.
Coach Downey kind of made sure it was in Colt's hands. Had talked before the game. It could be Colt Myers left, Colt Myers right, Colt Myers up the middle, and, you know, give him a break and hand it off to Brogan. But, Colt is he's a good athlete. He's a smart kid, and he took the game under control. You know, he took over, and he knew what to do, and he knew how to do it. But, you know, I got to give our offensive line a little credit, too. They did well making sure that we could get Colt out in the open, and we got him out in the open, and we hurt Athens by doing that.
Well, let's give a shout-out to those guys. Talk about those guys a little bit up front, and they did a good job of clearing the way and also keeping Colt's jersey clean a little bit.
Well, Asher Olds is a freshman that we started at tight end last night. Not a large kid by any means, and he did a decent job. You know, for a freshman, he did a great job against a lot bigger kids. But with him and Ben Nelson, Sam Lucchetti, and Chris Guyana, and then Brady, who had moved to tight end, you know, they did well because, again, they were going up against bigger, more physical kids. But, you know, they did their job and got things accomplished. I mean, got, like I said, made it possible for Colt and for Brogan. Brogan still had a decent night running the ball to run the football. So, you know, it was a good team win.
You were talking a little bit. You're going through the numbers crunch again, and only dressed 10 guys last night, and you're a little concerned about going into week 9. You might only have 10 or 11 again next week. Playing that numbers game has got to be frustrating, and you have to have the, I guess, next man up mentality. Mm-hmm. And like you said, some freshmen are playing maybe before their time, but they're getting a good experience. And all these seniors that are playing well, including Colt and the guys, they played when they were freshmen, and that's paying off. So there's a little bit of a back and forth there, but you don't often want to be in that situation, right?
No, we don't ever want to be in that situation, but, you know, we've said it for quite a while now. You expect you're going to have some injuries, but not the amount and the severity of the injuries that we've had this year. But it happens. You know, it happens. So it's like it's our turn this year. Other teams have gone through it year in and year out. We've just never had to go through this type of a season where, like I said, the number of and severity of the injuries that we've had. So, you know, you deal with it. And that's, you know, we tell the kids that are first year or freshmen halfway through the year, you know, you're not a freshman anymore. It's time for you to play. So and they did. We had two other first year players, Quentin Kaiser and Truman Hall, come in and play and do some things last night. So it's, you know, you've been there all year, you've gone through everything, now get on the field and perform.
Like we said, with that win, you're 5-3, which clinches a winning record for you. And you look ahead to week 9. You're playing next Saturday night at CW Post Field against Burr Oak. And a lot on the line for the Tigers in that game, and a good Burr Oak team coming in.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get that win and get to 6-3, then you can spend Sunday night watching TV and crossing your fingers and seeing if you have enough computer points to try to get into the playoffs after that. Nothing is assured anymore with 6 wins, but 6-3 gives you a little bit better shot. And that's what has to be what's talked about this week as you go into practice, right?
It you know, we've talked about it from the start of the year. You know, we're not going to lie to the kids. The kids aren't – we don't have to lie to them. They know. We thought at best case scenario 7-2 this year. But that's best case. We were hoping for 6-3. And we put ourselves in a position to get there. You know, I mean, last night was huge with our with our numbers and going down there and facing they're a good football team. And we got out of there with a win, so we put ourselves in the position that we need to be in. Whether 6-3 gets us in, it could be we win next Saturday night, and us and Baroque are both 6-3, and Baroque still gets in. We don't know. We'll never know because everything's so tight the way it is right now. But before anything's said and done, we got to get a win. You know, if we don't get a win, it doesn't matter.
Right. So, Baroque plays today, this afternoon, and then you guys will be able to scout them a little bit, see what they have. But you already saw them once earlier in the year. We'll talk about Baroque a little bit and what they bring to the table.
They bring speed. It's a completely different team from last year. You know, when we played them last year, they were not very talented. This year they are. You know, they've got a lot of new bodies. And it's hard to figure. They're a junior team, basically, where last year they weren't a sophomore team. So they've got a lot of new kids. And they've got, like I said, a lot of speed. And it surprised us when we went and saw them the first time. So, you know, we're going to have to keep them under control, keep them penned in, and, you know, hope for the best. But they're a good football team.
Who are they playing today?
They play Britton Deerfield.
Okay. So, and you guys have played similar teams throughout the season. So you have much to compare them against, against other teams that they played?
They're speed-wise, they're like Bellevue, but they're not as big and physical as Bellevue. You know, they don't have that kind of size, but their speed is throughout all eight players. You know, their linemen are quick. Their backs are real quick.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be playing for something this late in the season, going into week 9 and trying to get to 6-3 and making that happen. And that's got to make practices a little bit better, and you can see a little bit of a jump in the step of the kids after that win last night and knowing that this week is possible. Did you see that a little bit?
Oh, we did. We did. I mean, our kids, you could tell how much they enjoyed playing last night. You know, it was a different feeling, like you said. They had fun last night, and that's what it's all about, you know. We're here to have fun. Play hard, have fun. Win or lose, have fun. And last night, look, you know, they were having fun.
Right. Well, the win last night gets to 5-3, and St. Phil gets a chance to get to 6-3 next Saturday night, 7 o'clock at CWO Post Field to play in Baroque. Good luck that night, Coach. And we'll be talking to our next Coach of the Morning here after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning via remote, Coach Robbie Hatton of the Penfield Panthers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, real good. Thanks for joining us. Penfield took on Jackson Northwest in the Interstate 8 Conference game last night. Jackson Northwest won that game 30-10. Tell us a little bit about how that game started and how it kind of went throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll be honest with you, our kids played their butts off last night. And, you know, it's scary how close we are to being a totally different outcome last night and in a couple other games this year. But, you know, it was one of the things. They got we got the ball and we were driving and had a costly fumble, and then they got the ball and put together a nice drive. You know, they put together a long drive, took over the almost the whole first quarter, and we responded and scored, and so it was 8-8, and and then we were shutting them down, and and then fourth down they had a big play, man. You know, the big play was the name of the game for them last night. You know, we would shut them down and get them into situations where fourth and long, and you know, a big pass play here or there, and you know, it is what it is. And then so we get down 28 at halftime, kick, get the ball, drive all the way down, kid reaches out for the pylon, gets the ball punched out, so now, you know, they get the ball back after we were driving to score, and then we stop them again, and we're driving again, and we have a costly holding call inside of our own inside the red zone, and it bumped us out of contention. So we had to settle for a long field goal. We didn't make it, but you know, it was a thing of just costly errors at wrong times. And but hey, our kids played well. I mean, we moved the ball really well last night. Our defense played really well, except for giving up the big plays. You know, but the kids played really well. They played hard. They fought. You know, it's just scary how close we are to being a totally different outcome.
Well, it looks like you're able to run the ball a little bit. Brendan Beck had 167 yards rushing, 22 carries. You guys scored on a 37-yard touchdown pass from Calvin Pazons to Blake Lum. And like you said, your defense stepped up at key times. You got a safety as two of your points there, and then and your linebacker, Gavin May, who's been having a big year all season long. He had 12 tackles. And like you said, you guys have been close several times. But the frustrating situation is you fall to 1-7, Jackson Northwest improves to 3-5, and you guys head into week 9, trying to put that game behind you a little bit. But it doesn't get any easier. You have Parma Western coming up, and Parma has been tough on everybody in the I-8. And talk about keeping all the heads up in week 9 as you go forward, and then trying to end the season strong.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal, Bill. We got to get better every day, and we are. You know, every day our practices, our kids are still working hard. They're still engaged, still locked in, and still having good practices. You know, it'd be different if we weren't, you know, but we are. The kids are showing up every day, and they're putting in the work. So, you know, it's one of those things that, hey, you know, the results aren't the results, but, you know, we knew we had to build a program here, and we are. You know, we're building that program through, you know, building some good men and kids that represent themselves well on the field, in the classroom, and in the community. You know, so it's one of those things that we're getting there. It just, you know, it takes time, and, you know, results are results, but actions are actions. So I'm proud of the way these kids act on the field. I'm proud of the way they act in the community, in the classroom. So, you know, we're getting there. It takes time.
Yep, your seniors are getting ready for their final week of their high school football season in week 9, and I know they'll be excited about that. And like you said, building a program is key and has to be job one right now for Penfield. Have you seen some spurts of some young guys coming up that you're excited about the future? And can you talk about those guys a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, our JV team / freshman team, they played half a JV season, half a freshman season. You know, they have a chance to go 5-4 this year. That's a group that had not won a game in 5 years. So, you know, they're super excited and they're playing well. Isaiah Eakins Gray is going to be a monster tailback for us in the future. Against Northwest on the JV game, he had 32 carries for 421 yards and 6 touchdowns. So we're excited about that kid. Blake Lum came out of his shell Friday night against Northwest and scored his first varsity touchdown and had a couple big receptions. So, you know, we're young, man. We're so young. We look at, you know, our offense coming back next year and our defense in different spots. And, you know, you never want to, you know, our seniors are irreplaceable. We love them. But, you know, we look at the kids that are returning in different spots and we feel really confident about what type of season we could have next year with who's all coming back.
That game next week, playing Parma Western, will be out on the road. You guys end the week with two straight road games, end the season with two straight road games, and looking forward to build those building blocks that you talk about. And we'll talk more about that next week as we get to that, Coach. And I appreciate you checking in with us, and good luck next Friday.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Mason Converse. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Had a great night last night on the WBCK Game of the Week. Last night, Harper Creek traveled to Marshall. Harper Creek came away with a 52-6 win. That victory allows Harbor Creek to stay in first place in the league at 5-0, and they clinch a share of the title with a victory with one league game left coming up next week. And It's got to feel awful good from last night to know that you can hang a banner now.
Yep, absolutely. Like I told you last night, it's official. We can say we've hung a banner and we've got part of the league title, and now we want to win it outright. We don't want to share it. And we know that if for some reason we were to stub our toe next week, we'd have to share it with Hastings, who we beat. And so that's the motivation for our boys this week, and finish it out and still looking for a top seed in the playoffs as well.
Last time you shared a title in 2021 with Hastings, and a couple of the seniors on this year's team were freshmen on that team, and they've been waiting for a little while to get back to the top here, and they did that last night with a dominating win, and you guys started fast and kept the foot on the pedal most of the time, and getting that early start you talked about was key. Facing a Marshall team, it's a rivalry, and you don't want to give them any excitement and get them going, especially with the kind of season they're having in a rivalry game, that can be dangerous. So starting fast was important, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. We knew that we expected them, again, being a rivalry game, we expected them to come out, whether it would be trick plays, onside kicks, something to just kind of tip momentum in their favor. And they're playing at home. We knew it was like senior night, something like that for them. And so it's this time of year, there's always some sort of a theme, or it's the last home game, so you get a little extra emotion from the teams that you're playing. And we knew we had to try and take that away. And early, like in pregame, I was looking around, and the stands didn't look very full. But by kickoff, actually, the stands on both sides were full. So it was a really cool environment. Everybody came out in full force on both sides. And they won the toss and deferred, and we took the ball, and they onside kicked like we expected, and we recovered that. We'd practiced that all. We actually practiced that all season because we onside kick so often, and we recovered it and drove down the field and went up 8-0 right away, and that was key to get things rolling. And I guess you could say that with just about any game, you want to get a fast start, but especially in a rivalry game like that, to get that kind of a start, that was terrific for us.
Tyler Wiesler scored that first touchdown for you to get up 8-0, and Cohen Slechter scored again after that, 16-0, and then you're up 24-0 and you went to the air a little bit. You had an interception by Nehemiah Word to get you another possession, then a 65-yard touchdown pass from Jesus Macedo to Preston Welsh, and you're up and running 24-0, only a minute gone in the second quarter, and things are looking real good.
Yeah, you know, couldn't be more happy for guys like Tyler Wiesler and Cohen Slechter. They don't get a lot of the accolades that Chase Nichols gets, and it's just how things are going. But those are great team guys, and they work their tails off. They're every bit as part of the success that we're having this year as some of our top name guys are. And when I say top, I don't mean that they're better than them. It's just more that those are the guys that are getting the yards this year and getting more of the touchdowns. And you need guys like Tyler Wiesler and Cohen Slechter who are going to bust their tails every day, make the team better. And they're out there blocking for them most of the time. So for them to get a touchdown, that was really critical. And we did go to the air a little bit more last night. Jesus was 6 of 8 for 147 yards. Dylan Eversall had two big catches and a TD. Tegan Turnbull was one for, and these were third down conversion touchdowns or catches at times too. So Tegan Turnbull had a big, really kind of a scramble drill type of play that converted a third down for us. And then Braden Best had a big third down catch and turned and ran and showed some of his speed off and got us a first down. And then the one I'm most excited about is Preston Welsh. I don't know if he's had a catch yet on varsity. And not only did he get his first catch, but also then his first touchdown he ran for, I think it was probably 70 yards or something that he caught it. So that was a really exciting moment that everybody on the team was pumped for him about, because he's been a terrific blocking tight end for us throughout the years. And he had a great game last night blocking, but it's nice to be able to reward him with a touchdown catch as well.
Yeah, those sudden change situations for you last night really happened to be key also. Like we talked about, you got the interception, and then right away you throw that long touchdown pass to Preston Welsh. And then the first part of the second half, you get a fumble recovery by DJ Wood, and then right away Macedo hits Dylan Eversall for a 26-yard touchdown pass, and you're up 40-6. And then from that point, your defense kind of takes over. They had to go exclusively to the passing game, and you were able to put a lot of pressure on there. And Braden Best was one of those guys. He had two sacks in the second half there, and he was the WBCK player of the game last night
awesome.
For that. And that defense, sometimes gets overlooked because with all the points you're putting up, but that defense was big last night for a Marshall team that's been able to move the ball at times.
Yeah, our defense has played lights out this year. They've given up now, if my math is right, I think they've given up 77 points on the season. So there's no reason for them to be overlooked because they played outstanding. Bess was huge for us last night on defense with, I think he had four tackles, and then two of those were sacks for 24 yards and a loss in those sacks. And he was constantly putting pressure on the quarterback even when he didn't get the tackle. And that was part of the game plan, and it's no secret we want to bring pressure and pressure other teams' quarterbacks. Quarterbacks today are so good. Receivers are so good. If you give them time to throw, they'll pick you apart. It's not possible to cover guys like you need to. And at the high school level especially, we need to get pressure on the quarterback and make him throw it in less than 2 seconds. And so that was our plan. That's really been our plan all year, and make them throw under pressure. And hey, we knew that Miller could throw it if he was given time. So we didn't want to give him time to throw it. And the defense did a really nice job. We had one drive where they scored on us, and really it was just a couple of mistakes that our kids made or confusion things. And give Marshall credit for making adjustments, and we just had to adjust back and really shut him out after that. And Blake Wagner was big for us last night with 13 tackles, actually led the team in tackles. And then Jimmy Leamy and Cam Converse both had 7, and Tegan Turnbull had 7 as well too. So can't say enough positive things about our defense. And Nehemiah Wirt with the interception, our DBs have played really disciplined all year, and we need to continue that, of course, as we get into playoffs. But that was a trick play. So that was looked like a reverse, and it was a reverse pass, and he could have easily tried to come up and get involved making a tackle on the reverse, but he stayed right with his guy and sat on it almost like he was expecting it. So it was just a nice job out of him.
Macedo added a quarterback sneak for a touchdown himself. He had 2 scoring runs by Kamari Hampton. Hampton ended up leading you in rushing with 107 yards. Chase Nichols, 92 yards, rushing on 10 carries, and put another win in the books. And then you look forward to next week. Your week 9, you'll be hosting Jackson Northwest, Hall of Fame night at Harbor Creek, and a chance to win the league title outright. And I know that's important to the guys to make that happen and head into the playoffs with some momentum.
Yep, just real quick, I want to talk about Kamari. You mentioned him, and he's really our backup tailback this year. He gets a lot of reps because we bring running backs at you kind of in waves, and he was the leading rusher last night, and just can't say enough positive things about him as well. Really all of the guys on our team, but someone like Kamari could be a starter for most anybody else on the team, and he's not a starter for us, plays a good amount, but he's the next guy coming. And we talked to him about, listen, this is going to be you next year. We want this to be you next year. You're the next guy, and so we're going to continue to come at you in waves. And the running back position is looking good for the future for the Beavers. And moving to next week, this is our boys want the title outright. We don't want to share it with anybody. And if I think back to the journey that we've been on really since 2021, it's kind of just a nice story on what can happen with human nature and what can happen just if you continue to work hard. But in 21, we shared the league title, and most people thought we were just going to run it back because we had a good group of people coming back and good group of players. But culture-wise, we weren't where we needed to be, and we stubbed our toe that year and took some lickings. I mean, we got beat up. We were 3-6, and nobody saw that coming, but we should have seen it coming. So that caused us to really kind of dig deep and examine what we were doing. And we were better last year, but still not where we needed to be, and the kids continued to work hard, buy in, build leadership, get our culture back to where it needed to be. And this year we're seeing the results of all that because we took some lumps last year too, and it's not how you get knocked down, it's how you get back up. And I couldn't be more proud of these guys and the journey they've been on for the last 4 years. And so now the challenge is going to be, as we move forward, you know, finishing this season out, but as we move forward in the future, not getting complacent and continuing to remember, hey, what did we do to make us successful the last couple of years.
Well, it'll be a big weekend next week for Harbor Creek. You have that home game against Jackson Northwest to try to clinch the title outright on Friday, and then Sunday night you guys will be waiting to find out who you're going to play. And the playoff pairings come out Sunday night, and there's always a lot of guesses going along with that, and that'll be fun to look forward to. A lot of things have to happen before that, and teams win or lose, we'll kind of decide that. But big weekend, big exciting time for Harbor Creek right now, and look forward to next week talking a little bit more about that.
Next Friday night at the Beaver Dome for the outright title. It couldn't get any better than that.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right. Thanks a lot, Coach, for coming in. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.com.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Vernon of Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Lakeview ran up against a tough Porter Central team, a Porter Central team that's in first place in the SMAC West. They go to 6-2 overall, and you guys struggled against Porter Central, lost 50-0. Talk about how that game kind of went early and how the momentum kind of went their way.
You know, going into the game, we knew they were going to be a physical football team, probably the most physical team that we played all season. And, you know, told the guys that it's going to be the, you know, we got to be gritty. We got to get down in dirt and grind one out and be tough up front. And, you know, I think early on we did some good things defensively that we were, I mean, just they're obviously getting yards and but, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards, making them drive down the field a little bit, take some time off the clock. You know, but they went down and scored after our first possession. Then we went 3 and out. And then kicked off, and they got the ball right back for another possession, went down and scored. You know, could have been very easy for our team to kind of just been like, hey, here we go again, pack it in. But they continued to battle, you know, against a team like that. And so I'm proud of them to continue to work. And you know, the good thing is we got one game left here that we can, you know, focus on Gull Lake and try to end on a high note. With those guys.
That's what's coming up next week. You're going to Gull Lake, and that's a matchup that was fun several years ago when Gull Lake was in the division. They were independent the last couple of years, and now they're back in the SMAC and playing the SMAC East Division with you guys. And getting a chance to go to Gull Lake and having something to play for in Week 9 to try to get another victory, and these – the kind of combination of the seniors want to go up on a high note, and then you want to get some of these young players some playing time and give them some positive feelings for this year to go into next year. Talk about that balancing act and what you want to do and what you want to get accomplished at Gull Lake next week.
I mean, definitely you want to end with a win. You get that good feeling to end that way. But I mean, it's you know, we as a team just got to continue to try to get better every single day. I was counting it up the other day defensively. The 11 guys that we, you know, started with on the year, we're looking at, you know, six backups playing right now, and then we started with a couple sophomores, so a lot of inexperience there defensively. And you know, continue to grow, to get better, to get that experience, and hopefully, you know, propel us in the off season with some of these young guys to, you know, get ready for next season.
That's going to be key for you guys to try and turn the page there. And last year, you were able to get some wins at the end of the year, and made for a nice summer. And to get a win next week would be huge for the Spartans to do that same thing. And yeah. Have you got a chance to look at Gull Lake to see what they kind of do that you guys have to get ready for?
You know, I've seen a little bit of it. I think their quarterback's pretty decent. And they're going to be a team that's hungry as well. I mean, obviously struggling this season. They're going to see Lakeview on the schedule. That's a, you know, a 1-7 team. And, hey, we got a chance. So, you know, we're going to have to go over there and battle. It's going to be a fight. And, I think I've told you all year, the big thing is what do we do? How are we executing? You know, last night, turn the ball over a couple times, shoot ourselves in the foot with some penalties when we get a drive going. And that stuff just cannot happen for us to win next week.
Well, we'll talk about that game next week. Lakeview goes to Gull Lake on Friday night to end the season, and hopefully you'll be ending the season on a high note for the Spartans. Good luck again next week, Coach.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for coming down here. We'll be back here with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
On 95.3 WBCK, proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer here back on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next coach of the morning, Coach Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Battle Creek Central ran into a tough St. Joseph team that's been having a really nice year in the SMAC. St. Joseph won 49-12. St. Joe improves to 7-1 overall. But that final score is a little bit deceiving. You guys were in the game early. St. Joe only led 22-12 at halftime. Then they went off in the second half. And talk about what you guys are doing early to play them tough.
Well, I got to give credit to some young guys that kind of stepped up and played in roles that they haven't been asked to play in or had the opportunity to play in throughout the season. But we, you know, between injuries and some guys kind of walking away from the team in the last couple of weeks, you know, Nazavian Anderson is a JV wide receiver that we pulled up and made a great difference in our offense last night. We were throwing short passes to him, and he was just, you know, 4 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards. Our offensive game plan really did a good job with it last night. And in the first half, we really kind of went punch for punch with them. Obviously, we missed out on 2 2-point conversions, and then we were driving at the end of the half and threw a pass in the end zone that effectively would have tied the game if we had gotten our 2-point conversions, but fell incomplete, and we just ran out of time, you know. But we were moving the ball, and we just played really, really well, especially for as shorthanded as we were. We only had 2 seniors dressed last night, and I think only 28 players overall. But some young guys stepped in and really did a nice job. Amir Luckett, really, he's just a freshman, you know, played a ton of snaps on both sides of the ball and had stepped up and started at linebacker last night, which he's done once before, you know, this year, but carried a heavy load. You know, Cali Bay was out, Hector Sanchez was out. Those are our 2 starting linebackers. So RJ Gray and Amir filled those roles, and then Ebby Wilson played a lot of snaps on defense last night. He's one of the seniors, and he did a really nice job. So, you know, we did a good job, I think, on defense. They came out in the spread. They're a multifaceted offense, but they came out in the spread, and we defended it pretty well, you know. So I was really proud of our effort. When you have 28 guys dressed and they have, you know, 75, at some point you figure you're going to run out of gas. And so, you know, we came in at halftime, and I told the guys, I said, I fully expect that they're going to come out and try to wear us down, go as fast as they possibly can, too tight formation, and run the veer. And that's exactly what they did. And they were running plays faster than we could even get defensive calls in that first drive in the second half. And they wore us down. You know, a lot of our guys play in both ways, especially up front, and we were trying to rotate people as much as possible, but when they start going fast like that, it's hard to rotate people. So
yeah, a lot of young guys playing, and a lot of guys in those roles for the first time, so the game kind of got away from you in the second half. They scored 27 on unanswered points in the second half and came away with that win. But Some highlights, your young quarterback who's been thrown into that role the last couple of weeks, played well again. Greg Williams doing a lot of damage on the ground himself. He had 2 touchdowns running and 75 yards on the ground, and he added 161 yards throwing, so he can throw the ball a little bit. And there's some glimmers there for that, and some he's an underclassman, so there's some future there too, right?
Yeah, he did a real nice job at quarterback last night. He did throw 1 interception that really was just kind of an unlucky break, you know, that the ball got tipped right into the hands, of course, with the St. Joe defender, and he returned it all the way down to, like, the 3. That set up one of their first half scores, you know. So even their 22 points at halftime, we felt like we had given them some of those points, but you know, those guys do a great job coaching over there, and they have a great team, and we were trying to stay in the fight as long as we could, you know, knowing that, you know, probably at some point they were going to overcome us. So we were happy to, obviously, we're always happy to be out there on a Friday night. It was a beautiful night. They had a beautiful crowd, and you know, the hospitality at St. Joe is always, you know, top notch. They treat us very well over there. Their players were very well disciplined and very classy, you know. So even when you lose, which always sucks, but you like to feel like you had fun playing the game. And I told them at the beginning, you know, that's our goal. Let's just come out here and let's just have it's a game. You know, you should be having fun playing the game and do everything you can. And if it's not enough, then you just shake hands and you say good job.
We get another chance next week. You guys are going to be hosting Mattawan. It'll be the WBCK Game of the Week next week. And another challenge. And like you said, you're battling some injuries. Not a lot of seniors playing from the get-go this year, and a lot of young guys playing So you want to get some things accomplished next week that not only are going to help you win that game next week, but also things that you want to get accomplished that are looking ahead to next year as you guys kind of put the season behind you. Talk about the challenge of that and the balancing act there.
Yeah, you don't want to look too far in the future because obviously you want to respect the efforts of the team that you have in front of you. So, but we do have, you know, we do have an opportunity, and I think our eyes were open to it a little bit last night to get some young guys some experience that will help them in the future. And so it is going to be a priority of ours to try to spread the wealth a little bit, you know, with this last week of football that we have, and get some guys some exposure that maybe they haven't had yet. Obviously, you always want to try and win the game, but, you know, if we win this game this week, it isn't going to really matter in the grand scheme of things. It isn't like we'll be going to the playoffs or anything. So we have to it's our senior night, so, of course, we'll take care of our seniors and honor the commitment that they've given us this year and allow them opportunities to shine on the field, you know, during their senior night. And then, you know, also try to get some young guys some opportunity. So, and, you know, plan and build for the future a little bit.
Well, Mattawan brings its own challenges, but you guys getting to play one more game at CW Post Field on a Friday night. That's got to be exciting for everybody. And senior night is always fun for the Bearcats, and talking about what those guys have done for the program. It'll be fun to watch. And like we said, it's the WBCK game of the week next week. Valkyrie Central is hosting Mattawan Friday night, 7 o'clock, week 9, to end the regular season for the area and the city. And look forward to a good night, Coach, for that.
See you there.
All right. That's it for another week of Coach's Corner. We'll be back next Saturday as we wind up the regular season for some of the teams that are moving on. We'll be looking ahead to the playoffs and making some predictions on who they might be playing next week.